Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is good to be with you. If it looks a little bit different around here, it's because we needed to record over on this studio side a little bit later today, and so it just made sense to start out the day over here. And hopefully you are having a good morning and are ready to hop into the Word of God together. Good morning, Lindsay. Good to see you. Well, yesterday we dove into a teaching, did we not, on your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. And, I don't know, this thought process, this phrasing, this spiritual discipline, whatever you want to put terms around it, has really been in my spirit since Jen and I did the Good Morning series on the second coming of Christ and looking at some of the signs. And we really leaned into when Jesus and Matthew is given the instructions of what it would look like. His first thing that he says is take heed of yourself. And what I loved about that is you know, often when you're hearing about end times and you're hearing about the second coming of Christ, we're talking about what the world's going to look like and the signs in the heavens and all of that other stuff. But very rarely do we hear messages about, well, what are we supposed to do in the midst of all of that? And of course, we trust in God. But Jesus actually starts by saying, take heed of yourself, get control over yourself, lean into what you're doing, lean into your thought processes and your emotions and get control of yourself. And so I don't know, that just kind of stuck in my head. And then obviously, Sunday, Brian Willison speaking about that waiting period on in the Lord. And, you know, oftentimes in that, there's just not a lot you can do, right? If God didn't change it, what do you got to do? You simply just have to learn to wait. And so yesterday we started talking about that, about how we can control what we can control. And one of those things that we can control is our attitude. And we can't always control what happens to us in life, what other people choose to do to us, what a company's going to do, what an economy's going to do, what so-called friends are going to do. We can't control many of those things, but we can control our attitudes. We can control our responses. So this week, that's what we're leaning into, looking at what we can control and how we can control it. And I think... you know, what victory we would walk in if we really leaned into this, that next time, you know, a bad report comes or something comes out of left field, at your life and you're just like, God, I don't know what to do. And, what can you do? Well, I can control my response. I often heard it said that first words, whenever you come under attack, that enemies coming against you, first words are important. If you get a bad report, it's your first words, oh no, I'm going to die, or first words, well, this is a setup for the miraculous healing provision of our Savior. You get laid off, oh no, we're going to the poorhouse, or God's about to open a better door, right? And so we know sometimes there's still fear attached in all of that, and it's like you're overriding that fear. We talked about that a few weeks ago, doing it afraid, like realizing that there's stuff to fear here, but I'm choosing. That's what we're talking about. I'm choosing to override that fear and step into faith. So first words are important. So that's what we're talking about. What can we control? What can we, say, I can't fix all the other stuff, but I can fix what's happening in me right now. So today I want to talk about handling your business, because if you don't handle your emotions, guess what? Your emotions will handle you. Here's the thing about emotions. They are powerful. They can lead us oftentimes closer to God. God uses emotions to cause us to feel something or to know something or to recognize that he's in the room. We feel him. There are emotions attached to that. So they can lead us closer to God, or they can often drag us into destructive patterns. Right. So here's what I found is that you and I are responsible for our own emotions. Well, they make me feel that way. Well, no, they can't make you feel anything. You are responsible for your emotions. So let's start off in the Word of God together. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Let me just pause right there. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Man, if that is not a contrast of our culture and social media and just, you know, everyone's highlight reels and, you know, the lives that we portray on social media. And it's like, man, you look at other people and it seems like they have it all together and, you know, they're taking cities and they're mighty. But God says, listen, those who control their spirit and are slow to anger are better than the mighty and those who take cities. Why? Because the Bible says in James that the power of life and death is found in the tongue. And if you can be slow to anger and rule your spirit, you can literally frame your world and dictate your future, right? Why? What? By what we're saying, by our first responses, how we respond to crisis and situation. You might be strong. People might have gift sets and talents that can get them places, but what they don't have many times is the character to keep them in those places. Their anger will count them out. Their unruled spirit, their messy life will count them out. So what is God saying? He said, I'm looking for some people who are slow to anger, who have control over their emotions, who rule over their spirits. They're the ones who will stand in the end, right? And we of course, we know that we live in a culture where people let anger, offense, jealousy, fear all control them. But we are in this world and not of it. And as believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to take control of our inner life. So that's what I want to talk about today. How do we handle our business when it comes to emotions? I titled it this way because for many years, when I first started pastoring, for many years, I also worked as a retail store manager. And I'm a, I don't know how to word it, big picture kind of guy. I like things to look good. I like, you know, when people would come into my retail store, I wanted to make sure that things look good, displays were good, but I wasn't very good at accounting the numbers. And we used to have this thing called a communication board. And what you're supposed to do as the store manager is make sure that every day you're updating your communication board and seeing where the trends are, what are your sales this year versus last year, you know, how employees are rating, your loss prevention, all of that stuff was supposed to be on this communication board. And what they would teach us in training is that whenever somebody higher than you, you know, a regional manager, a district manager, whatever, would come into the store, the first thing they would do is they would take you to that communication board and they would want you to speak to it or present it or, you know, what they were wanting to do is that obviously they had all the reports, they could see everything on their own. They wanted to make sure that the store manager in the building understood the business, understood that, you know, how were sales trending? What was loss prevention looking like? Where are we at this year versus last? They wanted to make sure that store managers understood their business. And if you didn't, that was a problem because now you have somebody babysitting four walls and not really understanding what's happening and how do we fix a problem? Or, you know, if refunds were high, well, why are they high? Is it a loss prevention issue? And I know you don't really care about any of that, but my point is the what I had to learn is I had to know my business. I had to know what was working, when it wasn't working, what were the trends looking like. Why? Because it affected my end result. Like I've discovered even in church life. And again, I know we operate by faith, and yes, I understand that. But for me, sometimes it's like when I can go back and look at, well, you know, during these months, we are typically, people are away. So there's a trend, attendance kind of dips. My first few years of ministry, before I knew kind of the patterns or the trends, man, I would throw my hands up in fear and God, what's happening? Everybody's left the church. What's going on? Only to see them come back in the fall, right? But over the years, I've learned, well, that's a trend. So obviously, we want people to be here. But when you become able to expect that and say, well, you know, this is kind of that trend. All right, well, now I take these summer months and we invest into training. We invest into leaders in preparation for that fall return. So what I'm saying is we got to learn individually to handle our business, know our business. Do you know what's going on the inside of you? Like if you had to write a report, print a chart, how are you emotionally right now? How is your love walk right now? Where's your forgiveness level at right now? Are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? It's like, you know, when you pick up and look at your phone screen time report, sometimes it's like, well, that has to be wrong, right? That can't be right. That's not the amount of time I was on my phone today. It has to be wrong. Maybe you've been there, but it doesn't lie. It's the truth. And one of the most powerful things that I think people can have is the power of self-evaluation. Without filters, without lenses, just having an honest conversation about yourself. Here's where I'm at. Here's what's going on. Here's what this looks like. Here's what's trending in my life. And when you can do that, man, I think that sets you up for greater breakthrough, greater levels of maturity in your life. Why? Because you're knowing your business. You're saying, you know what? I am struggling right now in forgiveness. I've been struggling with letting go of that fear. I've been struggling with anxiety, whatever, fill in the blanks. And I got to get control of that. I got to fix that. Nobody's coming to save me. Oftentimes what happens is when we refuse to know our business, to handle our business, what we like to do is say, well, I don't know. That's not my fault. And, you know, they made me feel that way. I wouldn't have a problem forgiving if they were easier to forgive, right? What we're doing is we're refusing to look at the facts that say, I am in control, so to speak, of these four walls of my heart, my spirit, my emotions. I'm in control here. I am in control of how I respond. You are in control of your life. You are in control of your emotions. You are in control of how you respond. So I would ask you today, what you know, if you had to survey, print a report, know your business, what areas would, because here's the fact of the matter is we are so external. Well, you know, I'm doing good in life because I got the job. I'm doing good in life because I got the promotion. I'm doing good because money's flowing into my savings account. Jesus said right from the beginning, listen, I don't look at the outward, I look at the inward. And we often look at the outward as an expression of how we're doing inward. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Life's good. Things are happening. You know, things are moving. But often, God's saying, I don't care about any of that. You've got some issues on the inside of you. That's why Jesus says, it is my will that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We often take the first part of that verse and say, yep, God wants me to prosper and be in health. All is good. But he said, in correlation, even as means as your soul prospers, I want you to financially and economically prosper. I want you to be in health as your soul prospers, not in spite of your soul, but as your soul prospers. So handle your business. Where are you at? Because God's looking down at us and saying, you know what? You're good in all these areas, but man, we got to get victory over that mouth. We got to get victory. One thing I want to talk about this week, because I thought about it yesterday, is sometimes how people will use I'm sorry as a get out of jail free card. I thought about that yesterday, and we're going to talk about that later on in this week. But, you know, I want to get to a place where I don't have to say sorry. I never want to have to say sorry again. Why? Because I want to be on the forefront of it and catch myself before I go there. And it happened yesterday. I was talking to somebody and I kind of responded and just you know, they were filming on a situation. I responded and kind of over exaggerated my response and was like, why are they doing this? They can't do this. And, you know, afterwards I had to come back and I had to say, hey, I am sorry. I, you know, I was kind of frustrated by the situation and I over responded to that. And I thought, you know, I want to be at a place where I can catch myself before I over respond and have to say sorry. Right. Because that's spiritual maturity. I don't want to have to keep, I mean, obviously when a believer gets it wrong, what do? We make it right. But I want to get beyond needing to constantly make it right and get to a place and a space in my heart where it's like, all right, God, me and you, we're going to deal with this. So emotions are real, but they are not reliable. Emotions are God-given, but they were never, ever meant to be our decision maker. As long as you are making decisions based off of your emotions, you will always be left helpless, hopeless, failing, moving here, going there. Did God say? Did God not say? Where am I at? Why? Because decisions were never, or excuse me, emotions were never meant to be our decision markers. Jeremiah 17:9 reminds us of that, where it says, the heart is above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who can know it? And as long as you're moving your life in the direction of your emotions, you will be a ship without an anchor, tossed to and fro of every storm, every weight, everything that could possibly happen. It'll just throw you for a loop day in and day out. A person driven by momentary anger says or posts something they later regret. You know, there's that kind of theology that says, you know, if you want to post something, wait, sit on it for a minute. Like, even if you write the email and just put it in your saved folders, and just how many times do you come back and say, yeah, probably shouldn't have done that. Probably shouldn't have done that. Too late now. What do they say? Words are like toothpaste. Once they're out of the tube, you can't get them back. But oftentimes when you pause and say, you know what? And I've done this, and I know sometimes people get upset with me about it, but I refuse to respond on other people's timetables. And maybe I'm wrong in this, but I've just come to the place where it's like, just because you text me at 2 o'clock on Tuesday doesn't mean I got to respond by 2:01. Because sometimes I need to pause for a second. I need to think about, and again, I'm not talking about trivial things, but I'm talking about, you know, somebody texts you something about your kids, somebody's texting you, tearing you down, whatever. I appreciate the text message, but I'll respond when I'm in control of my emotions, when I filtered what I'm going to say through the Holy Spirit, when I've submitted to the Holy Spirit, when I've helped him, when he's helped me craft my response, then I'll respond. Why? Because if I respond in emotion, I'm going to end up saying something that I don't want to say, that I'm going to later regret, and I can never take it back. So be careful in what we're posting. Be careful in what we're saying, right? Emotions are indicators. They are not directors. They tell us something is happening inside, but we must test them against the word of God. Like, how many times? Well, we know 365 times the Bible says, fear not. Anytime I hear fear not, I always, in scripture, I always say, well, that means there's something to fear, right? Like, otherwise they wouldn't say fear not. It means that in the natural, like little 14-year-old Mary has this angel, majestic angel standing in front of her supernaturally. Sorry, that's something to fear. That's not a common occurrence, right? Like when he would tell Joshua, fear not, rise up and take the city. Well, there's probably something to fear. There's a city. He's got a bunch of people who were raised in the wilderness that don't know anything about warfare and battle and, you know, strategic plans. They're just doing this by the grace of God, right? So fear is a real emotion. And if you look at most of these characters, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, like, right, there was always something in the natural to fear. And that emotion was real because there was something in the natural that would cause that emotion. But God said, if you want to be great, you will understand that, yes, the emotion is real, but I'm asking you to act in opposition to the emotion that you feel. Emotions are there to say, listen, the fire's hot. Listen, Goliath is big. Listen, the lion's teeth are pretty sharp. But God will step right in the middle of it and say, But I'm asking you to trust me in spite of what you feel. I'm asking you to give despite having the finances to do it. I'm asking you to pray even when you don't feel it. I'm asking you to be kind even when you don't wake up in the morning with a kind spirit, right? I'm asking you to, often when God's asking us for greatness, he's asking us to move in spite of our emotions. The emotions are indicators, not dictators. God will often ask us to step out in faith in opposition to our emotions. So the powerful thing there to know is to pause before reacting. Ask, is this how the Spirit of God wants me to respond? Is this helpful? Is this building up? Is this encouraging? And again, sometimes you got to have hard conversations, but God, I got to have a hard conversation. Let me pause. Let me cover this in prayer. Let me just be here for a minute. Let me sit on this. Let me factor in. Like, there's a guy on Facebook and TikTok. I forget his name now, but he's a lawyer. You probably have seen him. But he talks often how to handle hard conversations. And one of the things I watched him say that he often would do in the courtroom is, especially somebody who's more of a narcissist or has that, you know, personality type or trait, somebody who's very argumentative, one of the things that he works great is he says, whenever they say something, pause. Or you think somebody's lying, pause in your response. Because the pause makes them nervous. And often that pause will reveal their true colors. They will either, if they're lying, will keep expanding on their story because they're like, well, what are they thinking about? Why aren't they saying anything? I need to fill in the blanks here, right? And they will just keep digging themselves deeper. Why? What they want is they're wanting to trigger you emotionally to get you to ignite, be short-tempered, and then turn around and say, man, you really have an anger problem, right? But when you can control your emotions and you can pause, you will stop that spirit and you will stop those personality types dead in their tracks. Why? Because you're saying to them, you will not control me emotionally. You will not control me. I rule over my emotions. I rule over my spirits. You will not control me. So you can say what you want to say, and I'm going to pause. And then that pause, the silence is awkward, right? And that's why people who are, you know, in the negative there, they often will try to fill in that blank, fill in that space, because it's making them nervous, right? So, but there's truth to that. Just pause. Take a minute before you respond. So taking responsibility for your inner world is essential. No one else is going to do it. You have to do it. Why, you know, the Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Emotional maturity means owning your reactions instead of blaming everyone else. Instead of saying, well, they made me mad. They made me feel. They made me instead say, you know what? I allowed anger to control me. I allowed my frustration to cause me to be short-tempered with you, and I need to apologize for that. What am I doing? I'm not going to put my response ever again on anyone else. I'm going to own my response. I am not saying that what they did is right. I'm not saying that what they did was healthy. What I'm saying is, I did not, in those moments when you got it wrong, I am owning, you know what? I am sorry that I responded so harshly. Anger got the best of me. My frustration and beyond, my tiredness. I didn't sleep well. And my tiredness got me frustrated and I let it get the best of me. I let it control me. I apologize for that. That is not how I want to be or how I want to respond to people. So again, you can't always respond or always control people and what they do, but you can control how you respond. Think of Jesus standing in front of Pilate, how calm he was, how he was in control, how he refused to respond. I mean, this is a man being accused, you know, of, and especially in that day, of religious, you know, going against the religious system. You know, this is a man standing, you know, in front of a court for his life, being falsely accused. But you look at Jesus and he stayed calm. He was in control despite false accusations. And I know we've got some warriors out there who, you know, somebody says something that's not true. What do you want to do? You want to rise up and you want to war and you want to fight. But look at Jesus. I mean, think of Peter in the garden, when they came to arrest him. And Peter, that warrior, he wanted to come out. He wanted to fight. He severed the man's ear from his head. And Jesus picked up the ear and healed him. And he remained calm. He remained in control. Because what was he saying to Peter? This will not be our legacy. Our legacy will not be one of violence and anger and short-temperedness. Our legacy will be self-control, will be the kingdom of God. There's a greater thing at work here. Don't allow the smallness of other people, the smallness of life, control you and dictate your future. Instead, rise up, get control of your emotions, get control of your spirit. That's your assignment, right? But we can do that. I mean, man, just start each day asking God, help me today guard my heart. Help me today pause before I respond. Pause before I respond. We must learn to navigate negative emotions. Ephesians 4:26 says that to us. Be angry, but do not sin. Feel the emotion, but do not sin. You can feel it, just don't respond to it. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Negative emotions out of control, I should say, give place to the devil. Anger, fear, jealousy, offense can all open the door for the enemy to come into your life. And again, some of those things might be legit. There's a legit reason to feel angry or to feel that fear. There's a legit reason I should be offended right now. I have every opportunity to be offended right now. But what I'm understanding is it's not about that person. It's about my heart. And as soon as I open myself up to that offense, I've opened myself up to the enemy. They did it. I did. And now I've given place to the enemy. I like what Genesis, I think it's chapter 4, where God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door. But he said, you must roll over it. Sin is always crouching. You just kind of get that imagery of a lion or, you know, whatever, just kind of crouching, waiting to prey, waiting to make something its victim. And that's what the enemy does. That's what sin does. It's always crouching, ready to get you fly off the handle, get you short-tempered to just, if I can just get them irritated a little bit more today, I know they're going to fly off the handle. They're going to say something and they're going to ruin the relationship. And I didn't even have to tell them what to say. They just did it themselves. I caused them to have a sleepless night and now they are irritated all day long. Their emotions are out of control. And sin is just crouching at the door. But God told Cain, you must roll over it. Never forget you are in charge of your world, your inner world. Instead of reacting out of anger, take a walk, pray, respond with wisdom. Don't you remember what Elijah, when he was discouraged, God said, take a nap and eat, then you'll be better. Sometimes you just got to. Spiritual warfare can be eating a good meal. Spiritual warfare can be taking a nap. Like, you know what? I'm about to snap off. I'm like Jeremiah, I guess it's what they, when you realize that your kids have a whole language that you're not privy to of the terms, what they mean and all that. Now the kids call it crashing out, right? Like before I crash out and respond, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to eat a good new meal. I'm going to pray, and then I'll respond to the email. And I guarantee you, you will respond so different. And how many times have we had somebody else in our world hyping us up, the wrong kind of person? Man, you got to tell them, girl, you better put your foot down, hyping us up. You know what? You're right. I'm going to send it. Bam, bam. And later on, when that person's not in the room anymore, we're like, what, What did I do? What did I do? So when you feel overwhelmed by emotions, pause. Even for 5 seconds, speak God's word out loud and regain control. Regain control. So a few practical tips before we get off today to handle your business. Have a daily check-in. Ask yourself, what am I feeling today and why? What am I feeling today and why? Is everybody irritating you? And like if one more person says something to you, you're just going to lose it, crash out. Pause for a second. Ask the Holy Spirit, why? Why am I feeling this? And he might reveal, listen, it's not them, it's you. You're tired. You've been eating junk. You're too stressed out. You know you have took on too many projects. You're running too much. That's why you're feeling what you are. And then, okay, I got to make those adjustments. But now I can go through today knowing it's not them, it's me. Me, right? So have a daily check-in, have an honest conversation about where you are, where you're struggling. Scripture memory. Speak God's truth over negative emotions. David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. David knew that the key to not sinning was having the word of God hidden in his heart. Number three, have healthy outlets. Exercise, journaling, talking with a trusted, non-emotional, you know, ride or die people are great, but sometimes you need the right type of ride or die people who won't just hop on the bandwagon with you as you drive through burning every bridge you can. Sometimes you need the right ride or die people who will say, listen, I've got your back, but I have your back enough to tell you, knock it off. Don't you dare say that. Come on. Those are the right types of ride or die people to help us bring a little bit more balance to our life. And number four, cut emotional triggers. Limit negative influence. Those people, those things, social media, gossip, toxic environments. Limit them. Like, listen, sometimes the drama that's on here, out of control. Sometimes I just got to get away from all that. Take a mental health break, social media break. Some, you know, environments, if you have a toxic work environment where it's constantly gossip and drama and attitude, it's like you can't always get away from that because you got to get a paycheck, right? You know, but to come home and then be watching the news and having your mind filled with all of that, getting on social media, filled with all of that. And then no wonder you're responding to your family and your loved ones the way you are because you, all you've heard all day long is toxic, toxic, toxic stuff. So maybe on the drive home from work, instead of playing something on the radio or, you know, get quiet with God, put some worship music on. Pray in the spirit, pray in tongues, and see if it doesn't change some things by the time you get home. So sometimes you got to cut emotional triggers. And number five, stay spirit-led. Invite the Holy Spirit to rule your thoughts and emotions daily. Man, this is something big that I every time we talk about the Holy Spirit, because I grew up charismatic Pentecostal, and the Holy Spirit sometimes I felt like was boiled down to an emotional thing. Service was good today because we felt it. How was service? Oh, he was moving. I could feel him all over the place. I got goosebumps. I fell on the floor. All of those things. And there's a place and a time for all of that. But what I have discovered is I spent so many years in those type of environments, but walking out the door with just as much bitterness and anger and resentment and unforgiveness and sin in my life as I did when I walked into the room. So was the Holy Spirit really moving? Because he's supposed to convict us, lead us and guide us in all truth, not make us feel something. So often we diminish the role of the Holy Spirit in our life as a feeling. But being spirit-led means that when the Holy Spirit says, shut up and don't say anything, that's when you say, you know what? I am baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of conviction. With the evidence of a renewed mind, with the evidence of being self-controlled, with the evidence of joy and love and peace and patience. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of its fruit. How do I know an apple tree is an apple? Because of the fruit that it bears. How do I know if you're baptized and Spirit-led? By the Holy Spirit? Because of the fruit. I think we got a whole lot of tongue-talking believers who are no more baptized in the Holy Spirit than, you know, the bar hopper on a Saturday night filled with wine. Come on. Why? Because the evidence isn't the tongue. The evidence is the fruit. Don't get me wrong. We believe in the power of the tongue, speaking in tongues and the gifts of ministry that flow out of that. But what I'm saying is the evidence has never been that. The evidence is the fruit. They will know we are Christians by our what? Love, which is a what? Fruit. They will know you're a believer because of the fruit. How do we get fruit? You can't force fruit. Fruit comes by being led by the Spirit of God. Stay Spirit-led. Ask God, Holy Spirit, would you increase my conviction? Every time I fall back into that sin, every time I want to be short-tempered, will you increase my conviction? Will you convict me so much that I never want to do it again? So just to recap today, emotions are real but not reliable. We take responsibility for our responses. We renew our mind and transform our feelings. Often prayer and worship are the reset buttons. But here's my challenge for you. This week, handle your business by mastering your emotions instead of letting them handle you. Know your business. Where am I at? What's going on? What's trending in me right now? What's going on in my inner world? Often we just push all of that stuff down because we're so task-oriented. But I think how healthy would we be if we stopped every day and just paused and said, where am I at right now? Where do I need to grow? What do I need to, what's going on in me today? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me be better. Change me. Help me produce the right fruit in my life. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you. Lord, we thank you that you love us. You're in love with us. You've made us. You've created us. But Father, sometimes we can become our own worst enemies by burning bridges, breaking relationships, stopping progress in our own lives because we let our emotions get out of control. Holy Spirit, today I ask that you would convict us, baptize us again with conviction, baptize us again with a shut your mouth spirit that would cause us to rise up and be the kings and priests that you've called us to be over our own world and our own domain, that we would understand we are in authority. We choose how to respond. Would you help us do that today and help us respond right to people? Help us know how to navigate issues in our lives. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me on this Tuesday. I trust that you've been blessed by this word. And we'll be back all this week helping us start the day right. And if you haven't done so already, like, comment, share, subscribe, however you're watching on these platforms. Become a digital missionary. Help us take the word of God out even further. All right. Well, be blessed. Have an amazing day. And remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.